called this week, Escape from Iran with Love from Canada.
For 3 months, we've been looking for a proper time to bring them out.
Tip O'Neill says thanks for the whole nation.
America will never forget it.
Presidential envoy Clifford hurls strong words at the Russians.
If part of their plan is to move toward the Persian Gulf, that means war.
And good night, Mr. Durante.
Go zinc, a dink a doo, a dink a dee.
Wherever you are. I'm David Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It could have been part of a James Bond plot, but this was for real. 6 Americans who barely escaped the Tehran embassy takeover came home this week, and one of their number, diplomat Robert Anders, told their story.
When the embassy was overrun on November 4, 5 of us were working in the consular section at the rear of the embassy compound, some distance from the chancery where the main attack was centered. Thus, we were able to leave the premises unobserved. We made our way to our homes or the homes of friends. As the situation became more intense, we were able to move to Canadian premises where we remained in hiding.
And it was, he said, a long time to hide.
Most of our days were spent following events in the world. We had no contact with Washington except to send word through the Canadians that we were safe and well. We avidly read newspapers and listened to overseas radio broadcasts. Also, during the course of the 3 months, we played Scrabble to the point where some of us could identify the letter on the front by the shape of the grain on the back of the tile.
They fled a week ago as Canada closed down embassy operations. They used Canadian diplomatic passports, specially issued, and forged Iranian exit visas, reportedly courtesy of the CIA. To many Americans, O Canada became more than the anthem of our neighbor to the north. Calls of appreciation poured into consulates around the U.S. Jimmy Carter called Prime Minister Joe Clark.
I wanted to call none of our 6 Americans are back in this country and safe, publicly and on behalf of all the American people, Joe, to thank you and Ambassador Taylor and the Canadian government and people for a tremendous exhibition of friendship and support and, I think, personal and political courage.
And House Speaker Tip O'Neill expressed the sense of the Congress.
We Americans will be forever grateful to our great friend and ally to the north for the protection and the safe passage provided for our diplomats. It was truly a humanitarian act. America will never forget it.
Iran won't forget either. Foreign Minister Ghotzadeh called the operation deceitful, a violation of international law. But most international jurists were not listening. And at week's end, there were signs of a break in the crisis. Iran accepted a UN plan for an international commission to investigate alleged crimes of the Shah. The Afghan story after this.
An encouraging report on the computer industry. The discouraging word about gasohol. A major new trend in corporate restructuring. The downturn in home prices. Articles like these on every phase of business are found every business day in the Wall Street Journal. If you need vital business information, have a pencil ready for an important offer from the Wall Street Journal. The Journal recently reported on the long-term impact of the Soviet grain embargo. You would have read about metal mania, its sweeping America, and why the expectations aren't so great for steel stocks. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 20 weeks of the Journal, that's 100 copies, for just $26, a real money-saving offer. So in the continental U.S., call this toll-free number now, 800-228-2222. That's 800-228-2222, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later. That's 800-228-2222.
President Carter's fiscal 1981 budget plan went to Congress this week, heavy on defense, loaded for bear. The Soviet intervention in Afghanistan only providing more ammunition for those supporting a stronger U.S. defense. Presidential envoy Clark Clifford, visiting India this week, sought to take the wraps off the diplomatic niceties of U.S. warnings to Moscow.
We cannot, I believe, define it any more minutely than we have already done. The message is they must know that if part of their plan is to move toward the Persian Gulf, that means war.
But then Secretary of State Vance put the wraps back on, saying he would not have said it in just those words. The Conference of Muslim Nations in Islamabad this week dealt a severe diplomatic blow to the Kremlin while merely slapping the wrists of the United States. It voted condemnation of the Soviet move into Afghanistan and called for immediate Russian withdrawal. Only mild criticism was reserved for the U.S., for the Palestinian issue, and for imposing economic sanctions on Iran. The Olympic boycott plan gained some strength this week. China and Japan joined, as did a few other nations who said, no, they won't go to Moscow either. Draft registration resistance in the U.S. We'll have that story when the world this week continues in 1 minute.
A formal business education has almost become a basic credential for entry into management. But how do you get one when you're somewhere mid-career supporting a family? Obviously, an after-hours program. But are such programs really worth the time and money? Forbes magazine cited Pepperdine University's School of Business and Management as the best example of a real innovator in business education. Pepperdine's bachelor's and master's degree programs are totally geared for working adults. Available throughout L.A. and Orange counties, they meet evenings or weekends to minimize conflicts between education, job, and family. But above all, they were designed as a way for business people to become more effective managers by exploring business in a supercharged academic setting.
Applications for spring are due February 22nd. To learn more, look for Pepperdine's announcement in the calendar section of today's Los Angeles Times. Or call Pepperdine at 213-971-7610. That's 213-971-7610.
Opposition to renewed draft registration sprang up this week in demonstrations in several parts of the country, and Senator Kennedy, in his speech to renew his presidential campaign, kept that in mind.
We should not have taken this step across the threshold of Cold War II. We should not be moving towards the brink of sending another generation of the young to die for the failures of the old in foreign policy.
He also called for immediate gasoline rationing and wage price controls. Treasury Secretary William Miller this week found himself the center of controversy when the Security and Exchange Commission said his former company, Textron, paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in foreign bribes when Miller was running the firm. At his confirmation hearings 2 years ago, Miller had denied any Textron bribes. Now he says he had relied on senior Textron people for that information and admits he was mistaken. And sources are saying the FBI now has evidence that top government officials, including a senator and several congressmen, may have taken bribes. The kid from the Lower East Side of New York, with the raspy voice and the schnozola, Jimmy Durante, died this week at 86. He often said, there are a million good-looking guys, but I'm a novelty.
I'm glad that note came out. On the last x-ray my doctor took, it showed up as a safety pin.
Up we go, up we the same, and the ink-a-dink-a-do. Good night, good night, good night. Good night, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
The World This Week,